This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, and welcome to Time to Lean, the podcast where you air your dirty laundry and we help you clean up your shit. I'm Crystal Britt.
And I'm Laura Danger. Think of us as your household secret weapon, taking your questions and voicemails to navigate the wild world of gender norms and household dynamics.
We dive headfirst into the nitty-gritty of how broader social issues impact our everyday lives.
So don't be shy, send us your dirty laundry.
And we'll help you clean up your shit.
This is Time to Lean. Welcome back, everybody. This is Laura and Crystal. And today we're going to do Am I the Asshole?
I love it.
Are you ready?
I love these. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Real quick, how are you?
I'm good. I am adjusting to the abundant sunlight that we're going to have for a couple of days. It's supposed to rain again this weekend. So
it was really nice. It was really nice here for like three straight days. In fact, it's so nice. Last night we came home from school and played outside for 2 hours.
I love that.
And my kids are really into roly-polies. Do you have roly-polies?
Oh, yeah.
Roly-polies, right? Polies.
And we call them roly-polies. They are not pill bugs for us. They are roly-polies.
Roly-polies. My big kid was like, hey, mom, can you flip all these rocks? And I was like, there might be spiders and stuff. Like, I found some slugs. And she was just like, okay, cool. And put all of them in a big cup.
That's so fun.
Yeah. She had a really good time. I had a good time. I love dirt. Big fan of dirt.
It's good to get under your fingernails. Get in there. I did a little bit of potting this morning before everything gets all rainy and soggy.
What are you potting?
We have a really big, okay. So where we live, orange groves are a big deal here. Like the city used to be a really big orange producer back in like olden times. I mean, it's still, we have a lot of orange trees still. So our backyard, has a cement retaining wall that separates our property from the neighbors. And she has, like four or five different kinds of orange trees, like specialty oranges in her yard. And I think there's gotta be standing water somewhere, because we don't have like spaces where standing water, where mosquitoes could breed. When I tell you, since we moved here 6 years ago, the way I took a picture last summer, at one point I had like four mosquitoes on my leg. I get bit up like nobody's business. Like it's my job full time in the summer. And one of my kids does too. And sometimes it's so bad, they'll be in the living room because that like backs up to the space where there's the wall. So I'm trying to pot geraniums, creeping Jenny, like in big pots so I can try and keep them away. And I'm also trying to plant stuff that will smell bad to bees around the pool, because we have two kids that are not just topically allergic to bees, not anaphylactically, but the reactions are super extreme. Like if they got bit on the face or neck, we would have to take them to the ER to make sure that they got stuff, because like intravenous Benadryl, because it would swell up so much. We would be worried.
Wow.
So that's where they get stung, is by the pool, because all the bees are trying to drink the water. So that is what I am working on. That's my big project for the next couple of weeks, is trying to get everything set up for when warm weather decides to stay.
I love learning about the types of plants that do all of the amazing things in an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So fun.
It's so fun.
Okay. I'm going to get into this. Today's Am I the Asshole is not a relationship, maybe a little bit relationship related. Okay. So here's what it is. Am I the asshole for choosing the bride over my best friend? One of my best friends begins planning for her birthday months in advance. She usually plans a full weekend of going out to bars, breweries, wineries, and she invites about a dozen people. Not sure if it is relevant, but we are in our late 20s. She and I casually texted about her plan, and I, of course, said I would be free because it was 3 months away at the time. Fast forward to about a month ago, I got an invitation to my boyfriend's brother's fiance, boyfriend, brother, his fiance's bridal shower. My boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years, and my boyfriend is the best man in their wedding. I was on their engagement trip, and while the bride and I are not best friends, the men in our lives are very close. And I am also very familiar with the family since I've been with my boyfriend for a while. The bridal shower happens to fall on the same weekend as my friend's birthday, and the events are 5 hours apart from one another, so I will not be able to attend both on that Saturday. As soon as I got the invitation, I texted my friend saying I had been invited to the bridal shower on the same weekend, thinking she would understand, and she did not. She responded, "Well, what are you going to do?" and is very upset that I would want to go to the shower instead of her birthday. I let her know I would make it up to her and am even seeing her the Friday night before I leave for the shower. She stopped responding. The weekend is about 2 weeks away now. I want to attend the shower. If my boyfriend and I do end up getting married one day, I would like for the bride to be there for me. I also think the mother of the boyfriend would be disappointed in my choosing a weekend of drinking instead of celebrating the family. Plus, I just feel the bridal shower that bridal showers are once in a lifetime versus the birthday that happens every year. Another part of this whole dilemma is that my boyfriend and his brother recently had a stupid fight at the bachelor trip and are in the process of making up. So I also feel like if I skipped the bridal shower, that may make it seem like I am trying to extend the fight, which is absolutely not the case. Am I the asshole? Now there's a follow-up, so I'm going to add the follow-up. Edits left out in the original post. I let my friend know before she had to make any reservations that I could not attend. She did not have to pay any additional fees due to the cancellation. I let her know 6 weeks in advance, and she is still able to do everything. She is not missing out on anything due to me. The bride is definitely not a stranger. I've known her for 4 years. We just are not as close as my birthday friend, as the bride lives 5 hours away. We have gone on many family vacations and trips and spend our holidays together. The best friend with a birthday is a very good friend to me. She would not be my maid of honor if I do get married one day.
Okay. So providing additional context.
What do you think?
I think that it's so hard when we're talking about family dynamics, especially when like this writer is in the in-between space of unofficial family, but not yet family. And then friendships where a friend may feel that they are being put on the back burner for people who aren't even quote unquote, like real family. I have to say that if this were me, I would be making the same decision. Like I would go to the bridal shower. I would not be like, oh, actually, I don't know if you experience this as well, Laura, but I really hesitate to commit to anything 3 months in advance. Not because something cooler is going to come up. Like that's not, I have been accused of that before. Like, well, you're just waiting for something better to come up, or like you don't want to miss out on something if something cooler happens. That's not why I do it. It's for like stuff like this. I worry about stuff like this where it's I don't know if my kid's going to have an event where they have a performance and then I'm going to let, you know, a family member down because I'm not going to go to their birthday dinner or whatever, because I have to fulfill this commitment to my kid. I don't know how you feel about this in particular, that there is a hierarchy when it comes to priorities for me in terms of the people that I invest time in and who I spend time with and things that I commit to. So committing to something that far in advance would be something that I would be hesitant to do in general. and could be then accused of being flaky because of.
What was it? We read Platonic by Marissa G. Franco. Marissa G. Franco. Great book. She talked about something. Was it like, it was a boundary. It was like a co-boundary. Do you remember what she was talking about there?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So she talked about there this concept that there is no such thing as like a static obligation or a static responsibility. So when you talk about like a hierarchy in a relationship, it does always have to account for capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I should be available for you if you are having a hard time. However, if I am dealing with a certain crisis, it would be unreasonable for you to expect me to put down what I am doing and be there for you when I also have a responsibility to myself. Like,
yeah,
there has to be this room to give and take. I'm trying to put myself in a position where I could not ever imagine telling a friend, being so hurt or like a lacking of understanding of somebody making a hard decision like that. But Danielle Byard Jackson,
mm-hmm.
who just wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
really cool book. I'm so excited to check it out. Her work is so great. Talks about female friendships and the way that you can navigate these things and how you do need to be able to say something that hurt my feelings. And also I'm understanding, like sometimes we just kind of cut and burn or burn it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of seems like the friend did. Mm-hmm. But this would be something, maybe she's going to come back around and be like, hey, it really hurt my feelings. Like you committed to this. This is something that I really care about.
Mm-hmm. That was really important to me. Yeah.
I would make the same decision and I can't imagine a friend being I can't imagine having a friend be not understanding.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm struggling the same way you are. We're trying to put myself in the friend's position. I don't know. For me, it would be like if there's that bridal shower, like you have to go to the bridal shower. You can feel hurt. You can feel disappointed. You can communicate those things. Like I'm really, oh man, like I was really looking forward to you going. I was really looking forward to you coming. And I know that we had this Am I the Asshole slotted for a possible like topic or a possible Am I the Asshole for the emotional labor event that we had last weekend. And as I'm thinking about the emotional labor for that, it does feel to me like the friend is handing that emotional labor that she should be doing to the writer, right? Of like, it makes me so uncomfortable to sit with all of these feelings. So instead of dealing with that and asking the hard questions or the vulnerable questions of whatever the context is, we've been distant lately. And so you backing out of this, I'm worried about our friendship. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling weird. Like however you want to communicate that. But even that would be better than, well, how could you say no to doing the, like to going to my birthday or to going to this event, right? That's reoccurring. That is a tradition, it sounds like, but this year you can't make it. That should be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of the things you said are really important. That's what's fascinating about this is I could imagine, what I've done in the past is avoid saying something like, hey, it really hurt my feelings when you did that because I might not be wanting to guilt somebody. Like if I were the friend, I might not, it would be unspoken. What are you going to do? That is like hoping that they're going to say, well, I'm going to tell her that I can't come and I'm going to come to your birthday party.
Right.
But if they didn't do that, I would not want them to change. Am I making sense? Like I wouldn't want.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to,
somebody.
Right. Right.
So I'd avoid it altogether and just like set it away as resentment.
Right. Right. Right.
Just eat away at our friendship.
Right. And that's the thing too, of like that thing of like putting it away doesn't necessarily mean it's dealt with. It just means it comes up later at a different date. But yeah, I totally get that inclination to be like, well, I don't want them to make it. Okay. Here's what's interesting. Would you not want for them to make a decision based on your feelings. Like, is that what you're trying to avoid?
Yeah.
I would also suggest, like, I would also like suggest or just point out, like, that's what friendship is though. I can also understand like the discomfort of that not feeling great if they say, yeah, I hear that you're hurt, but I'm still going to go to this bridal shower. Mm-hmm. Or if they decide, you know what, you're right. Like, I'm trying to think of something that would be wedding adjacent that wouldn't necessarily be a bridal shower, that would be like less than, or like a less important event. But it's like, yeah, I guess the family dinner isn't that important. You know, I want to make a good impression, but you're right. Like, I'm glad you said something. It wouldn't be your job to feel guilty for that, right? Like, I feel like the mutual trust of adult friends is trusting that they're going to be honest and accountable for what they are responsible to be accountable for. You know what I mean? It's that whole like thing with emotional labor is if it's like, I'm owning my shit so you can own your shit, and we're not passing each other's shit back and forth to each other. That's what maintains the health. So expressing feeling isn't bad.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you and I were talking about this like Catholic guilt thing. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. The idea of protecting someone else from feeling bad is like such a dance that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is a pattern that my husband and I have to work on a lot of times, is I will say, okay, that's fine. And it's not fine.
Mm.
And then it will come up later. And we have gotten to a point, you know, 20 freaking years, mm-hmm. you know, 15 years into this, he will pick up on a subtlety and I will pick up on a subtlety, and I'll be like, no, when you say yes right now,
mm-hmm.
I don't want you to fake it. Don't do anything to appease me. I'm allowed to say, I want this. And you're allowed to say, I don't have capacity for that, or whatever.
Right.
We have to be able to trust that. Like the other day, when you were in town, he had to go to an all day event, and I was disappointed. I really wanted him to be around that day because, you know, how often do you come to Chicago? And I had to get a true sense of how important it was for him to go. And he had to be honest with me, and I had to trust he was being honest.
Yep.
And when I said, yes, that's fine, please go, here's what would be great if you could be around for this time and this time. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, but I pick up on the tone. And I was like, I am disappointed. I am disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I don't genuinely want you to go. Mm-hmm. And I don't genuinely support you. I'm not going to be mad at you later. I am.
Right. I'm not storing it. This is truly right. How I feel. And I think that's the other thing too, is the trust that you guys built with each other in that moment of like, you can also feel disappointed and he doesn't have to feel guilty or make up for that or do anything to fix that, because we all get disappointed. Like, mm-hmm. that's okay. But because you took that time to also express, if you could be around this day and this day or at this time, and yeah, definitely go, those, like, all of those needs were expressed. You know what I mean? There weren't things that, like, to your point, were, you know, hidden in tone or pocketed away or like cataloged for later, right? It was like, no, these are all the cards on the table, and you can trust each other that way.
And I think that, I mean, that's been one of the hardest things of like undoing old patterns, and recognizing patterns of that in other relationships,
definitely.
Even like familial relationships, and just being like, oh, whoa, that's like a long time. That might be a family thing where we,
yep.
I remember having my sister-in-law being like, when something's wrong, like, why don't you guys ever say anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you guys not outwardly upset about this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's funny that it's all of us though.
You're not supposed that's a to weird, do that. Yeah. 100%.
That's a weird pattern.
Weird. So weird that we all got that message. Hmm. Yeah. And I think too, like noticing when those things come up, because it, like when those family messages come up, like you said, in other relationships, because the no, I'm fine is a very clear family message for me, right? It means mm-hmm. I'm fine, but I'm pissed off. Like, I am telling you I'm fine because I want to move on, but I'm pissed off at you. and you're going to need to fix, like, that's me handing my emotional work and emotional labor over to my partner being like, now it's your job to figure out what I'm pissed off about and how to fix it. Right.
Yes. That's where we've talked about this before. That's where emotional labor becomes a tool of power and control.
Yes.
Is you must predict and read between the lines. And I'm sure you experience this too. I don't think this is a neurodivergent thing. I think this is like when you hear, probably also neurodivergent thing, when you hear women go, I don't take fucking shit. Like the reason this, I'm gendering the hell out of this, but when men are like, oh, I date younger women, they aren't jaded. It's like, I'm not going to read between the fucking lines. Tell me what you want. I'm going to tell you what I want.
Yes.
I'm not being mean to you by wanting to have a conversation.
Yes. 100. Like, yeah.
Don't fake it.
Yes. I'm not being mean to you by asking for explicit communication. Like by asking for you to dive into your own shit and figure out what your actual needs are and expressing those to me. And it is really hard if it is for like family of origin dynamics, because those are super fucking hard to break, right? Because from where everybody's coming from, that was what was, you don't question whether or not that's healthy until you get out into the adult world and you're like, wait, why are you not partner or friend, like vibing with this? Why are you not going along with, doesn't everybody do it this way? And it's like, nope, that's wild that you think that's going to get you a desired outcome.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting in this scenario with the friend and the sister-in-law, you know, what would be really interesting is if this person, it kind of sounds like she does want to go, like genuinely does want to go to the shower.
Yeah.
Seems like it, but it would be interesting if she reached out to her friend and she was like, I value going out with you so much. And I think it's really important. And I, 3 months ago, I obviously genuinely wanted to go. Are you going to feel really heartbroken or like abandoned if I do this? How can I help you not feel abandoned? Because I think it's really important. If she just like said that, but that's the thing is like, again, that's like, I think you feel abandoned. I am projecting and I am trying to read between the lines. Or what if she talked to the future sister-in-law and she's like, hey, I know that the men in our lives are kind of like going through this funky thing. And I do really want to come and hang out with you. I'm having this thing with my friend. She's feeling really abandoned. I feel stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to feel hurt? But that's the thing. Like you can't trust people to be like, no, I am going to feel, because she might no, and then turn around and talk shit.
100%. You can't. And that's the thing. Like you can't even necessarily trust that she's going to, one, give you an honest answer, or two, like if the boyfriend and the brother are beefing, like then there are other dynamics that are put on top of that. It's so frustrating when it's like, that's the part where I know, where I can very easily pinpoint, like, no, my brain works differently, because I'm like, could we just like not do any, could you just talk straight to me? Like, what's the deal? My feelings, like if the friend could say, hey, my feelings are really hurt. Like I was really looking forward to your going. I'm super disappointed. I'm feeling abandoned. And then the author could be like, That sounds like a lot. I'm not trying to abandon you. I'm here. Is there something that has happened recently that is contributing to you feeling abandoned? Do like, what is behind that? That sounds really heavy. And then taking the focus off of, you know, saying yes to the bridal shower and no to the birthday party or the birthday outing, and getting to like the bottom of that. But again, I also think there's a level of, I don't know, I guess like you said, capacity and gauging, if you want to engage in it, like, do you want to continue to have this level of relationship with this person and this friend? What is a response that is not beyond your capacity, but is parallel to continuing this friendship in a manner that you want to continue it in? All of those factors are important, right? As opposed to, I'm just going to kill myself apologizing for the next 6 years because that's what my friend feels like is reasonable, because that's how slighted she feels. It's like, no, then that's a one-sided that's a one-sided relationship. That's a one-sided friendship. There's no understanding. There's no grace. There's no curiosity about her relationship with her future sister-in-law. Like, there's a lot that's missing there.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Is it sounds like, I mean, we don't know. We don't know what the friend did because she just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to be like, I wonder why she is making this decision. It mm-hmm. seems like she's having a hard time being empathetic. Yeah. And all of the things you said about like, maybe there were other things going on that led up to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is rough. The other thing that I was thinking about, and it's very subtle, is the dynamic with her family. Like, she doesn't, nowhere in this does she say where she wants to go. She mm-hmm. doesn't say mm-hmm. if she wants to spend time with anybody at all.
Yeah.
All she talks about here is other people's feelings. And she's like, the way that she is having to play a role in her boyfriend making up with his brother
mm-hmm.
is really fascinating. And I'm not saying it's wrong, because I think that as partners, like, it's a funky way that we do that, is like play into one another's family dynamics.
Yep.
And have to like table our issues or show up for obligatory things and do that dance.
Right.
But yeah, and that's the other thing. Okay, here's another thing. If this was a best friend, like a maid of honor best friend,
mm-hmm.
one, I feel like you would expect a little bit more empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it maybe would hit a little bit harder, because it's like, hey, I thought that our hierarchy, mm-hmm. I thought that I was more of an important role in your life. That should also be considered a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe she has felt slighted or left behind because of this guy. Maybe this has been an ongoing thing where she keeps on picking the guy and is like, oh yeah, even though he treats his brother like shit, even though you've waited 5 years and he's not put a ring on it, we can keep prioritizing this. Like, we aren't seeing the whole picture.
Right, right. That's really important. Because yeah, I do think that, like you said, if it's a best friend who's like been in her life for, because she says that, right? That like she's been in her life for multiple events and like for a long time. It also makes me wonder if it's one of those situations where like maybe the friend felt like they were closer than the author feels like they are, which I have experienced before and have a lot of insecurities around. And so I'm wondering if like that's also something, like a dynamic that's playing out where the friend's like, mm-hmm. hello, duh, like, of course I would go to the bridal shower, the author. And then the friend's like, what the hell? Like, I thought we were like sisters. Like, I'm wondering if the friend would be surprised to read the author say, like, we're close, but she wouldn't be my maid of honor.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I've been on both ends of that. Totally misreading a situation mm-hmm. and being like, oh no, I didn't. Oh no.
It is that feeling, that stomach drop where you're like, Oh.
And so, you know, like you said, like maybe the friend is just realizing that right now. And it's a little bit, it's like too hurtful to talk about.
Yeah. Too vulnerable.
I'm just looking at the comments real quick. Not the asshole. You're putting the health and welfare of your family, including your extended family, to be ahead of a weekend of drinking with the girls. You understand that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to strengthen new ties and family bonds. You have your priorities straight. The other one, you sort of made plans with your friend first before getting invited to this, but I'm still leaning toward not the asshole. Birthday weekends happen every year.
Mm.
Nah, ask yourself, which of these two would I want to be my maid of honor in the wedding? See, that's the other thing, is like, this is playing into a bunch of odd norms of like, I don't know. I have never understood the whole big wedding thing. What's interesting is all of my friends were much older and I got married. I was like the youngest one to get married of my friend group. And there was a short window of time where a bunch of people had weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like on the outside, maybe went to one or two as a part of the bridal shower. And then I had babies and didn't go to weddings. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I haven't been a major part of a lot of weddings. But they're a huge freaking deal. People make a huge freaking deal out of them. And it's so expensive. And people don't factor in the demands it makes on people financially, time. Like, it is a yep. big deal. And if I was the sister-in-law, the future sister-in-law, I also might be like, dude, I like, don't come. You're yeah. cool. It's chill.
Right.
You live 5 hours away yeah. and we aren't that close.
Right.
So there's that, like, that might not be the situation. That might, because I have people I would travel across the country for in a heartbeat, and it would be right. really important. I don't know. But I would never, if a friend could not make it or a sister-in-law could not make it, I'd be like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's chill. It's cool.
You're good. Dude.
It's yeah, fine.
It is hard. And I don't know. This is just my own experience. I don't know what this is related to. I have never understood performing social norms for social norms' sake. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's a lot of undue pressure to meet an invisible checklist that is not real. And so weddings especially, I'm like, etiquette? Like, as a bride who we wanted to get married in a park and do an in-and-out truck. Like, that's what we wanted to do. I was the oldest, and my mom wanted to have a full-blown event for her friends and family and whatever. So that's what we ended up doing. We didn't pay for it. So I was really into wedding etiquette books because as a neurodivergent person, really? It's really nice to have a fucking like instruction manual. When I'm like, this shit's made up, I don't give a shit. Oh, absolutely. There's like a whole Emily Post has a book. There are a lot of wedding etiquette books of like, here's what you need. Cause I was like, we literally want to go to a park and do a food truck. I know how to do those two things. I don't need to order linens. I don't need to order like chairs, bring a blanket. I don't need to, you know, like all of those little things. And so same, like for something like a bridal shower, I don't even, there's so many social expectations around all of this shit. That I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, just send a registry out to your friends and family if you need things so that they can help support you. But like, we don't need to do a whole thing. And I don't know if that's because my self-esteem, like even when I think about like renewing vows or something, I'm like, yeah, park, In-N-Out truck. That's it. We're good. Yeah. Coffee cart if we want for like late night and dancing because we've got Sonos speakers and everybody's got a phone, you know? So it's, for me, it's more about the experience than that. So like in this, same, like you're saying, like if I were the future sister-in-law, it would very much be a thing of like, dude, for real, just pick whichever you want to do. I am not the one that's going to ruminate on this. And I like, I offer that too, to like my sister-in-law who just had their first baby. There have been events since then where I will text her on the side and be like, don't come to this. Like yeah. I'm texting you because I love you. And I want you to know that we, like me and Ben, value you as part of the family. The kids have a game or whatever at this time or a performance. Please don't feel obligated to go. I know how much it takes to get a baby out the door, but I want you to know, I love you. We see you, you're part of our family, and that's it.
That's so interesting. Yeah. We got, It all does come down to why are you doing this? And if
values,
it's like,
based. Yep.
Is it a friendship test? Is this
oh my God,
fat family obligation?
This is
or
why
like
we're
you
friends,
said,
I can't.
It's like the purpose of having a party is to celebrate, to feel connected to all the, and like, that's really, I think that's great. And if that's how you feel celebrated is to have a big, huge event, or you want to travel and, like, I've always kind of wanted to go on a big trip with friends. I think that'd be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
I see people do it. I had friends who did it. And, like, they go stay in a cabin or they go mm-hmm. somewhere tropical. I think that's so cool. And, like, for us, we had a big party. We ended up having a big party at an arcade. We had great food. It's really fun. I wanted a dress. I got a dress. Yeah. I love watching whenever it's on reality TV, I'm like, oh my God, if I could do it again, I'd get that dress. Yeah. Love
it. For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And well, it's so cool and fun, but it doesn't. Yeah. And I like anytime I talk about stuff like this, even in a in the past episode, I think we were talking about like clothing, and we were talking about the older or the age gap relationship. And I worried that it came off as if I was judging anybody who cared about appearances.
Oh, like those things. Did anybody write to us about that though?
No. I just worried about it afterward.
Sure.
Because I do think it's so cool to have an interest or to like want to express yourself in those ways. Or to have a birthday party that happens and it's like a big deal.
Right.
That's so cool. And also the point is that we're going to have fun together. And if this is taking away from something important, like.
Right. Yes.
I'm sorry. And let's do it a different way.
Right. And I think to your point, right, like that comes down to values alignment and how you prioritize those values, right? Maybe for this friend, maybe she doesn't see the value in a bridal shower or attending a family member's bridal shower because she doesn't have, you know what I mean? It's one of those, like, it's a neat opportunity to go, man, like, I feel like we're disconnected. Where are we missing each other on this? Cause I don't want to miss you. This relationship is important to me. In 2021, COVID clearly was like still in full swing. Like, California was in and out of lockdown still. My birthday was in February, and my birthday is in February. And so I did a coffee cart. Like, I got a company that was local to come out and do like a mobile coffee. And I was literally like, just threw it out to everybody that I knew. Hey, we've got 100 drinks that are like paid for. They'll make it, come and go, like come stay for like 3 coffees. We did masks. We were outside. Nobody went inside. Like, we accommodated because it was like, I just want to see you because I haven't seen you. And I love coffee, and I know that you love coffee or tea or whatever. And I just want to be able to see you and spend that. I want some sort of normalcy. At that time, I wanted that. And so it was amazing to be able to create something based on my values and what I wanted to surround that event or like that time around, as opposed to, well, what do I feel obligated to do? Like, fully a fuck obligation. It's so. No one is ever happy when they do something out of obligation.
I want to say, and that term is so interesting. I want to say I heard it from Robin Wall Kimmerer, used it in an odd way that I hadn't really heard, where she used it in a positive way.
Sure.
We are obligated to each other.
Yes.
And it's not, and it's a different kind of obligation. We aren't obligated to meet the rules and expectations, but to be responsible for one another.
Right. Like, collective liberation is something that we are all obligated to, whether we know it or not. Right. And so I think, because I spent a lot of time in therapy talking about obligation, in my own personal therapy, and trying to figure out, because that's what people pleasing is, right? Mm-hmm. Is doing things because I feel obligated, because if I don't meet this unspoken need or emotional expression from somebody, I'm going to let somebody down. And so I think that's a really good point that there are, I mean, I'm obligated to take care of my children. That's a privilege, right? And so there are different, I love that distinction you made between like a positive and negative connotation for obligation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just, the way that she framed it has really stuck with me. It's asked a question in my brain that I like carry. Yeah. What is the obligation here? Yeah. What is it?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Okay. Interesting one. We will link it. Yeah. You can read more of the comment section. And as always, DM us. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Time to Lean. Your questions and stories are what keep us going, so keep those voicemails and messages coming.
Until our next episode, remember that you can always find us on social media and, of course, in your podcast feed. You can also subscribe for $5 a month on Spotify for uninterrupted episodes and bonus content.
We're so grateful for your support. See you next time.